shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello, welcome back to Mask RC Manchester United Tactical Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Haider Rabbani. I'm joined by Rob Blanchett. Guys, before we start, give us a follow on at TF Mask RC. Give myself a follow on Haider underscore Rabbani. Give Rob a follow at underscore Rob underscore B. Rob, feels like deja vu again. Manchester United failing to put the ball in the net. If you just have a look at the summary, 22 shots on goal, three big chances missed. We hit the post. We scored an offside goal as well. We just can't put the ball in the net. And what can Ralf Rangnick really do? He's coaching 2-3-0 wins every single week, and these players aren't doing their jobs and not scoring goals. And unfortunately, now the onus is on the players. The spotlight is now on the players. And that's what we're going to talk about today, aren't we? There are key players in this side who aren't doing what they need to do. And unfortunately, and this is going to be a forward-looking show today as well, guys. We're going to look at incomings and what team possibly should be played going forward. But it's very, very frustrating. I'm sitting here, and even though we're 24 hours after the game, Man United should not have drawn that game. And you were at the ground, weren't you? What was the general feeling after that draw yesterday?
Kind of embarrassment and apathy. So, you know, in previous games where United played poorly, there's been boos at the end or some discourse, some shouting and screaming and whatnot. But at the end of this game, everyone was just like, oh, there we go again. Same old, same old. You know, it was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's birthday, and it felt like an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer performance. They played 4-2-3-1. They didn't put the ball in the net. They huffed and they puffed. Lots of gesturing. Oh, look at me. Oh, I missed again. Oh, sorry, everyone. It's the same old garbage. You just said there, what can Ralf do? Ralf can do nothing. You know, we're going to show here with facts that Ralf Rangnick is doing everything in his power to make this happen. But Ralf Rangnick cannot make the chemistry between Ronaldo and Bruno suddenly appear. Something that wasn't there for Portugal over many, many years, that we questioned on this show at the start of the season, saying, would this be a big factor in United's campaign, that these two guys can't get it together? And here we are now, getting towards the end of the season, and we're doing a show about Bruno Fernandes and Cristiano Ronaldo not being able to put the ball in the net. They are talented players, but they are failing. And today we're going to go through why they're failing and how you fix it.
We talk a lot about tactics, don't we, on this show, Rob? We talk a lot about, and a lot of people probably mix up the fact if Manchester United aren't winning the game that there's a tactical problem, the setup's wrong, the system's wrong. This is not what we're seeing currently in Manchester United. You know, what we're seeing is, and we spoke about this off air, aren't we? Man United's expected goals are much higher than they were previously before Ralf Rangnick came in. The expected goals against as well is much lower. They look more organized. They're not leaking tons of goals like they were previously. But what they're not doing, which actually in some ways they did a lot under Ole, is, you know, United scored goals, didn't they? To be fair, under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, there were some big wins. For some reason, Man United can't score goals. And I like to say it's execution, not tactics. The problem is the execution. The players aren't doing what they have to do. It's all on the players. We're having a look here, obviously, at the graphic from who scored, and we have United set up. And some of the key things here, United created a lot of chances relative to their possession, but the weaknesses were poor finishing, high number of individual errors. It's something that we talk about a lot, isn't it, with Manchester United? You know, we talk about these individual errors, and we talk about the fact that they're recurring problems, that players aren't learning from mistakes that they're making. We also talk a lot about, five or six players in this Manchester United side playing poorly. And it's very difficult, but unfortunately, these players don't deserve to play Champions League football next season. They don't deserve it because they're not doing what they're meant to be doing on the pitch.
Yeah, one of the things that I took away from the game yesterday and being at Old Trafford and kind of being at all these games over such a long period of time, my whole life, it feels like, is that there's just a lack of character. And character's a weird thing because it's not measurable, is it? It's not a thing. It's either you got it or you haven't got it. It's kind of one or the other, isn't it? And this Man United team haven't got it. You know, you might have players that have won World Cups, European Championships, multiple Champions League trophies and domestic titles. And this collective have got no character because when they face a tiny bit of adversity, they can't go to another level just to get the job done. So like we look at Watford. Watford are one of the worst defences in the country and have been all season long. They just got hammered by Crystal Palace at home. And yet they come to Old Trafford and Man United can't put one goal in against them, or at least a legal goal that counts, and to win the 3 points. Because I've said it, Hayden, haven't I? Over and over again. You just need to win games. You don't need to be brilliant every week. You don't have to come out of this. Like if we'd won 4-0, this would be a masterclass about how Man United were lethal and clinical in the first half, ripped Watford to shreds, and we all feel really good about it and let's move on to the next match. Instead, it's the kind of polar opposite, is that the performance was there, they created chances, but if you don't put the ball in the net, you don't win the game. And if you don't win the game, go home. Like this is how it has to be now, you see. So I think that's the problem when we look at Man United's players. This is no longer about individuals, but it's about the whole blend of the team and about when you're in that final third, what do you actually do? So we'll kind of, as you said, we'll go through each point as we go through and look at the two major players who I think are a part of that. But, you know, how does Ralph solve this? I don't think Ralph could do anything in training the following day. You know, I don't think he can look at them today or tomorrow and say, guys, you didn't do this, because they did all the things that they're supposed to do. They just didn't score goals.
Yeah, a comment here from Masood saying, mentioned this before, but for a long time now, the fear factor playing against United has gone. There isn't really an aura, is there? Let's be honest, Rob, with Man United. I know these things are obviously things for the past, but teams know they can come to Old Trafford and have a go at United, or they can sit back and they hit them on the counter. And that's something that, you know, Watford nearly did at the end. I mean, we could be sitting here and talking about a 1-0 loss because of the fact that Watford had that chance, didn't they, near the end. I mean, one thing that really kind of stood out to me was, and we'll move it on now as well, we'll just break down some of the stats here, but let's look at the counter-attack. Man United are meant to be a counter-pressing side. One counter-attack. But obviously, when you're dominating possession as well, though, you know, United did dominate territory, so, you know, they did have more possession, so they're not going to make, you know, quick transitions. But the point, when we're talking about counter-pressing, we're talking about winning the ball high up quickly and then going for goal. And Man United just didn't do that yesterday.
Exactly. And also, just to kind of go back on the previous comment, I don't know if it's about that aura. You know, it's not about teams turning up and giving up. Like, I think that we kind of need to look past that. Watford were awful yesterday. Watford came to get beaten by Man United. That's what happened. And Man United couldn't pull the trigger on it. You know, we're kind of looking at the attempts on goal here. 22 attempts on goal for Manchester United. So that's above their normal average. But the point is just putting the ball away. It was two or three times in the game, Haydar, where I felt that we'd scored. So there was the Bruno chances and Alanga's chance in the second half, where it felt like it was harder to miss. Like you scored. That was it. And everyone in the stadium was like, hurrah. Oh, and the balloon is deflated. So what do you do with that? You know, like you do get games where you miss chances, and you do get games where you hammer teams and you don't get the points. It happens. But this Man United team have made it a habit. It's something that got their previous manager sacked. And what happened? We all blamed Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for it because he's the manager. It's up to him. But he cannot put the ball in the net. No coach can. It's up to your star players. And I think yesterday, you know, we look at kind of the creativity in the team. United is still not the most creative side, but they had lots of the ball. They were in the final third a lot of the game, and yet they were making lazy and poor decisions throughout. And I think the biggest culprit of that 100% was Bruno Fernandes. You know, shooting from long range when he didn't have to, trying to play Hollywood passes into corners, play normal football. You know, walk the ball in the net. You're good enough. And you looked at that yesterday, and that's a bit that really stung at the end of the match, because you just saw this game was there for the winning, but it's you guys that didn't take it.
Rob, I found a very telling statistic here, and it was actually tweeted by, you know, Usman, good friend of the show, and he said that Man United have created 19 big chances in their last six games, second most in the league behind Liverpool, who have 29, mm-hmm. and they've converted just five of them. Yeah. Liverpool have scored 17. Yesterday, Liverpool would have won 5-0. City would have won 5-0. And this is the point. And you know, the manager is, you know, the manager is coaching these wins, and it's very, very frustrating. And we will talk, obviously, we'll do a looking forward, and because Ralf Rangnick isn't going to get the job, but it's very, very difficult because, in my opinion, and people aren't seeing this, they're looking at the results and they're not actually seeing what's happening on the pitch. Like, Man United have improved. The results have not been, you know, spectacular, but they have improved. And people are just looking at the results saying, you know, sort of blinkered, saying, oh, well, look, the results are bad. Rangnick's doing a bad job. United are more organized than they have been in years. Honestly, we're talking more in the Mourinho years, Louis van Gaal years. They really are. And it's like,
statistically, they're way ahead of all those things. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Positive. Statistically,
and
you see it. Yeah.
And he's done that. Yeah. And he's done that in what? Two and a bit months? No preseason. It's that's promising. And you're thinking, right, okay, you know, if you can get the players right and he can get backed, you know, what could actually be built here? That's a frustrating thing. But the thing is, he's not going to get the job because also based on the results, and if United miss out on the top four, it's going to look like when people are blinkered, they're going to say, oh, well, you know, Rangnick didn't do a good job. And that's a frustrating thing, is that you can see these little seeds of improvement. And United are more organized, and they're, you know, in some ways, they're almost going towards, you know, Liverpool and City in terms of, right, okay, get the structure right first and then build on it. It's very, very frustrating, in my opinion.
It is frustrating, and this is why I will still keep banging the drum that we should be giving the job to Ralf, because I'm not having all this he's not as good a coach as Ten Hag or Pochettino or anyone else out there. He's an elite coach. As I keep saying, you talk to the best coaching minds in world football and they will all tell you how much they respect Ralf Rangnick. So Ralf Rangnick is showing statistically that he's getting these things right. Huge XGs on both ends of the pitch, going positive and negative. They're showing that they're doing the right things. They've become a more hardworking team. They travel further. They keep possession better. They do things that they should be doing. Like you just said there, you know, Liverpool win this game 5-0, City win this game 5-0. Well, we need to stop thinking about Liverpool and City and anyone else. The mirror now needs to be looking at us. We need to be looking into that mirror and finding solutions and being completely honest about the problems, because the problems are quite acute. And if you get them right in the summer, if you find ways and solutions to finding the real tough problems, you know, like if you've got a cut that you actually sew it up and you stitch it rather than putting a Band-Aid on it like Man United have done for years, then you might get somewhere really, really quickly. So even this feels like completely hopeless. There is a chance here to move forward in a relatively small, short period of time, but you've got to do it in an honest way and find, as I said, find the solutions to these glaring problems that have been there for a very long time.
Good question here from Manesh, actually, Rob. I'm going to bring it up. He says, sounds weird, but we've been more clinical off one or two counterattacks in the game and low amount of shots and dominating possession and tempting 10-plus shots. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because United are dominating games more. They have got more possession. But yet, you know, we've seen them play worse. Even under Oli, you know, United were, in respect, more clinical. It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because I think now we're sort of seeing the quality of the players, and we're seeing the ones that aren't up to scratch and the ones that are. And there aren't many that are.
Yeah, possession doesn't win you games. Yeah, possession gives you control of games in the game. It doesn't allow you at the end of it to go, oh, we had 65% possession, we should have won. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, it's about the balance between what you're doing in the game, your work rate, and how you use the ball. You know, there's no doubt that when you kind of look at the players yesterday, look, the player that was really, that was the best one on the pitch for me was Alanga. Why? Because Alanga was the only one that looked like he had some fizz about his game. I'll get the ball, I'm going to dribble it. Yeah, and if I make a mistake, it's an honest mistake. I think when you look at some of the other players, they're bluffing it, Haydar. They're bluffing it. It's like, oh, look, I'm shooting from 40 yards, guys. You know, I'm trying. No, you're not. That's a cop-out. So this is the whole thing that when we look at taking responsibility and then we compare it to the stats, and we are a stat show, you know, we can't get away from that. We're tactical. That's how we want to kind of look at the game. You know, you've just brought up the some key kind of metrics for the results, which you can go through now, but it's showing that United have control of these games, but the reason why they're not getting over the line is not the coach, it's the players.
I mean, look at that, Rob. 6 goals. This is from the last 6 games or so, and 16 6 from a possible 16. That's just demonstrates, as the tweet says here, you know, awful finishing. And that's the point, you know, and I do want to move on as well to this this slide now. And this is the example of the shots. It's what we were saying. And let's start talking about Bruno Fernandes. And, you know, Vincent saying here the tactics were spot on. The tactics were spot on. The tactics has been spot on for the last 6 games. And this is what people are failing to see. And I've seen people blame Ralf Rangnick because Rangnick's fault, you know, he's not a very good manager. It's just so wrong and it's blinkered and it's frustrating because it's very, very clear the statistics are showing Man United are better.
Mm-hmm.
What it's also showing, if you look at the statistics and you use your eye test, United can't finish. But Bruno Fernandes, I'm going to bring up Bruno Fernandes now because I think we need to talk about Bruno. Something we said in the last show was that he's obviously, his numbers are ridiculously good at Manchester United. You know, he's up there scoring so many goals, so many assists. But Rob, when he is bad and he's wasteful.
Mm.
And, you know, he does have the tendency, and a lot of people were saying this to me in the last show in the comments, they were saying, you know, frustrating how he's always throwing his hands up in the air, he's whinging, he's moaning. And yesterday, a large part of it, Ronaldo will get a lot of the brunt, and we will talk about Ronaldo, but Bruno Fernandes was very poor yesterday. He was very poor against Atletico, obviously came up with the assist. And, you know, he needs to take responsibility of his performances. And in my opinion, this season, I know that obviously it's not been a great season for Manchester United. He still has come up with goals and assists, but he has not played to the level that we expect from him, and he needs to be better.
He's a kaleidoscope. You know, I described him yesterday on Twitter as consistently inconsistent, because that is what he is. Now, the best players in the world who play in his position are not that. They are just consistent. They do the same things over and over again, and they get results out of it. And at the end of the day, you win medals and trophies off the back of it. That is what you do. Look at someone like, you know, Bernardo Silva, yeah? You know, countrymen of both Ronaldo and Bruno. He just does the right things all the time. That's all it is. If I play deep, I'll play it short and look after the ball. If I'm up the top end as a 10, I'll find players. And when I'm in the box, I'll finish like a striker. Now, Bruno can do all of those things. But you see with Bruno that he lives in this world on a football pitch in his own head where he, I don't know, it's not a superstar complex, but he wants to win the game himself. He wants to, it's like the Bruno Fernandes show. But there's kind of hints here that even though his metrics, his goals assist tally since he came to Man United are so good, you know, world class, absolute top level elite, that in games, every week for a period, he goes missing. He goes missing in a way that Kevin De Bruyne never goes missing. He goes missing in a way that when you've got a top player who is supposed to be your trequerista, the guy that roams everywhere and sorts out the pitch, you know, like go to a zone where you can actually overload, that you make the difference. He tries it and fails pretty much consistently every game. So if I'm Ralf Rangnick, I don't know how to fix that. If I was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer 6 months ago, I don't really know how to fix that, because that's about the player, isn't it? Like you just said there, taking responsibility. Leadership is more than shouting and screaming, throwing your hands up, going in the dressing room, smashing everything up. That's not leadership. Leadership is showing everyone that you do it and you follow my lead. And I think that we don't see that with Bruno. He's a great guy in the sense that after the game, he said, yeah, guys, you know, I should be doing better. I had 3 big chances. You know, I know that I should be. Stop. We don't need to hear any more of it. Get on the football pitch and do your job in the same way that we demand it of the Aaron Wan-Bissakas of this world, of the lesser players in the squad that get killed all the time, the McFreds that get hammered every week by Man United fans. Bruno and Cristiano, you need to take responsibility. You're the senior players in this team. Why are you not taking responsibility? You've got to win us these games. That is why you get paid the big money, and that's why you get the big love. Yeah, you can't just say, oh, well, I should be doing it. The time is to deliver it now, because the next coach will have the same issue. You know, it's the same problem. It's the same players. And how do you fix it? It's up to players to fix it in the moment on a football pitch.
It's as Charlie says here, though, Rob. You know, we can talk again and again and again, like we have this season, about Man United's problems, what the players have to do. But ultimately, a lot of these players aren't good enough. And Charlie's saying here, you know, a right back who can cross the ball. Although Wan-Bissaka had a good game, it's interesting. I did tweet at the beginning of the game, you know, is Dalot dropped? It's something that we did speak about last game as well, you know. And it's interesting to see, obviously, Ralf doesn't fancy really any of his options at right back. You saw Lindelof start against Atletico. I think that was a bit of a disaster, really, to him. Even though Lindelof had a decent game, that wasn't a good solution. And when Wan-Bissaka did come on, you've got to give him credit, Rob. In the last couple of days, when he came on, look, the standard is low, but he had a good game and United gained more control, and he dealt with, you know, Ronaldo against Atletico, and he had a good game. He was man of the match for Man United yesterday. But look, he is below the standard. We need a creative ball player, a solid midfielder, and a 30-goal marksman. Without those components, it doesn't matter who the manager is. And ultimately, you're seeing that now. It's what we were talking about off-air, weren't we? We were saying, you know, that ultimately Ralph's come in, improved the side, doing what he's doing, and the players are still letting him down. And you can almost give Ollie then a little bit of respite. Ollie had to go, and tactics weren't good. The shape wasn't good. The structure wasn't good. We were leaking goals. But ultimately, you know, these players have to take the brunt of the burden of the failure of this season.
Yeah, this is why I won't lean on cliches, because it's easy to say, oh, you just need better players. Because we can say it all the time, can't we? That can be like, you know, that could be show X on repeat, couldn't it? You could go, well, until you have better players, you're not going to win anything. And that is partly true, but you've got some of the best players in the world in your team who are not doing it. So how does that work? You know, Bruno Fernandes is supposed to be statistically one of the best midfielders in the world. Cristiano Ronaldo is the greatest footballer of all time. You know, Paul Pogba is one of the greatest midfielders of his generation and won a World Cup. Rafael Varane has won Champions Leagues coming out of his ears. And we're talking about Aaron Wan-Bissaka. This is the problem at Man United, you see. It's about the kind of imbalance, I think, of how fans view the team and the same old excuses. And you look at a game yesterday where the team does what it's supposed to do, but the ball doesn't end up in the net. And then you have to kind of be forensic in the reasoning about why it's not ending up in the net. And as I said, I think with Bruno and taking him as an individual case, I think that there are things to look at in his position. You know, what position he plays every week. United played 4-2-3-1 against Watford, the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer system. It didn't surprise me that Bruno couldn't work it out in a 4-2-3-1 because he couldn't for Ole. So we'll talk about it a lot, because you don't need a 30-goal a season striker, number nine. I hear this a lot. I heard it yesterday at Old Trafford. You just need a striker to put the ball in the net. No, you need six players who can put the ball in the net. And that's how you win games. Ask Man City. They won their game yesterday because Phil Foden scored. Phil Foden isn't a striker, and yet he's played as a false nine all season. So it's about...
Jota's the other player, Rob.
Jota's the other player. They've just bought Diaz. Now, Diaz is going to score lots of goals and get loads of assists for Liverpool in the next year, two, three. Yeah, he's not a striker. But he will fundamentally affect the XG. And then if you can get the ball in the net or in the box to the top players, you're going to score goals. You do not need Haaland. You do not need Kane. You don't need Ronaldo. You need the right player who helps the team. And I think this is where United got lost last summer, is that Varane helps the team. Sancho helps the team. Ronaldo does not help the team. He helps shirt sales. And this is a problem, because we all wanted Ronaldo back. I said, I'm not going to say that we didn't at that point. It's an exciting signing. But we did say this might go really wrong because the balance isn't there. You know, this looks, you know, Bruno and Ronaldo have never worked for Portugal. How does it work at Man United? What do you do as a coach? Well, it's still not working now. And I think that this is where Man United need to be honest now. They need to look at this and say, right, what do you do? Well, we don't want to lose Bruno Fernandes. You know, it's about how do we keep him, because he does produce elite statistics when he can, when the team is ticking along. But what do you do with Cristiano? And I think that's the thing, because he's supposed to be with us for another 12 months. But I think you did see yesterday, didn't you? Like, I wasn't imagining it. He kind of was almost like limping around like an old man for lots of the game.
Yeah, age has caught up with him, Rob. And I said it.
Yeah, age has caught up with him, and it catches up with us all. You know, it's catching up with me. I feel old, because as you get older, you can't deny those things. You try and get through it and try and still be a young man and do the same things, and you just have to adjust. But the difference for me is that I'm not a Premier League footballer. So I think with Cristiano, it just was always coming. It was just unfortunate that it had to coincide with him coming back to United. If he'd come back 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it might have been a different story. But we did see with Ronaldo that this happened at Juventus. This story that's happening at Man United at the end of his career now at 37, because I think we are getting towards that, or the end of his elite career, you could say. He can go to the MLS and swan it for three or four seasons and be a superstar still and earn tons of money. But if you want to win the Premier League, you better be elite in your fitness. And I think with Cristiano, it is sad. I watched him. I didn't feel sorry for him, but I felt sorry for his legacy, because this is how you're all going to remember him. You're going to remember, I came back and he limped around the Premier League for a year or two, and he actually cost United more than he actually gave. And yeah, we had good moments, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 great goals. And he did score 25 goals, everyone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's not really what it's about. It's about, can United win with the team and with the players it's got? The truth is that Man United will never, ever get close to winning a major title with Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes as your attacking fulcrum. It cannot happen. It will not happen. If you get fourth this year, you're going to do it through more luck than judgment. You're going to do it because Arsenal fail. You know, so Arsenal got tons of games to handle Man United. You look at the two teams, Arsenal are young and hungry. Man United are old and flustered. So that's a difficult scenario to be in.
You're absolutely bang on about Arsenal, Rob. It's in their hands, and credit to Arteta, trusted youth. You're looking, they've built the team around Saka, Smith Rowe. You have Odegaard there as well. People like Ben White. You know, they're building a young, youthful, hungry team. They shipped out Aubameyang, who I know he scored 4 goals for Barcelona in 3 games, but he shipped out because he wasn't...
Was he?
Yeah, he wasn't doing it, and he had to go. And you have to give them credit for what they were doing. And I think there were times where it was kind of going towards that direction with Ollie. I do think that, you know, he wanted to do something similar. I don't think he was good enough, and I've made that very, very clear. And ultimately, you know, it did fall apart. But I'm going to bring up this comment here from PA saying, you know, there are no alternatives to Ronaldo up top. 90 minutes every 4 days at age of 37 is unsustainable, especially when he's showing his age big time. He was falling over the ball. Bless him. Rob, I think it was late on in the 80th minute or beyond the 80th minute. Do you remember where Ronaldo got it out wide? And he ran into the player. He was in the box. And I was like, it's very sad to see. And unfortunately, you know, it's not like United haven't been creating chances. This is the point. You hear a lot of people say, well, he's got no service. Okay, against Atletico, he had no service. He has no service. He's feeding off scraps. He's getting chances. He's missing chances. You know, was it against, who did we play last week? Where Pogba did that great, was it against Leeds? Pogba did that great he went around for sure and put it in. Point blank range, Ronaldo's missing that. Ronaldo didn't used to miss these. And yes, he might have scored 30 odd goals in Juventus in Serie A, but ultimately, Rob, slower league, less physical, less demanding. And United now have to probably move away from Cristiano Ronaldo. Well, they do need to move away from Cristiano Ronaldo. I think the option is to part ways in the summer. And I'm going to bring up a forward-looking team. That's what we're going to do as well. We're going to do that a little bit more, aren't we, on this show? We're going to start looking forward. And you know, Ranić's not going to get the job. That's been pretty much confirmed. I know that you were saying this. So whoever it's going to be, whether it's Ten Hag, whether it's Pochettino, you've got a team up here and you've got you've got one gap in defence, Harry Maguire. I think Harry Maguire's days are numbered at Manchester United. Ronaldo's not in this team either. We have Declan Rice, who I think should be Manchester United's top target as well. I do agree with that. When we're looking at the team, you know, you've got youth in there. You've got Ethan Laird. United need a centre-back to partner Varane. Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw's an interesting one. Let's talk about Luke Shaw. And David De Gea as well. You've kept David De Gea in there. I think David De Gea might also be in the bracket of Cristiano Ronaldo. I think I'm not too sure if United should be giving him a huge new contract. And I absolutely adore David De Gea, Rob. Over the last decade, since Sir Alex has gone, he's actually been one of the players that's genuinely earned his wage. But unfortunately, you know, United, if they want to start modernizing and start playing out from the back, David De Gea's a liability. He doesn't come off his line as well. Very early on, he didn't come off his line. There was a cross that flashed across the 6-yard box. Didn't come off his line. And I think United probably do need to start looking in that position as well. There's so many players that United have to look at. But Luke Shaw and David De Gea, interesting with Luke Shaw. I know that he was very good last season. But for me, it's a worry that he can play at such a high level and then just dip again. And he's done that a few times in his career already at Man United.
Yeah, just to say with this team, and again, I know the comments are going to blow up and people on Twitter will blow up about it. This is not the team. This team does not win you the title. What it is that if you've got 10 problems to solve and you need 10 players to solve it, you are not going to do it in one transfer window. You're just not. It's going to take you maybe years. So this is, again, where Man United fans need to get real and think about what needs to be fixed immediately. What can you do in the very, very short term? So I've only picked here 2 players. That's all I've done because I think Man United could have 20 or 30 different targets, Haydar, and they would all be valid. You could look at fullbacks. You could look at midfielders. You could look at centre-back there. As you said, you talked about strikers. There are all kinds of players that you should be looking at the moment now to improve your team. But if you get to the end of the season and you come 6th, you've got to start from a place in June. That's where you have to start. So I look at these things. I look at kind of where United have failed this season. It's obviously putting the ball in the net, but it's a holistic issue. It's about the whole team. So we'll talk about Luke Shaw specifically again in a second. But with the team here, I think you need a new centre-back. I think you obviously keep Varane and you need to find him the right partner. You need pace, you need recovery, you need leadership, you need ball-playing skills. Harry Maguire does not fit that bill anymore. It never has. And Lindelof has been really good this season, but is no way going to take you forward as a centre-back. So that's one position. The other position there we put there is Declan Rice because it's an easy one. You probably might not get Declan Rice. He might go to Chelsea, depending if Chelsea now got any money. Now their owner has absconded. But you will see that Chelsea might not want to get him and Man United might be able to jump in there. And then if you've got Declan Rice, that solves two of the big key positions, centre-back, central midfield. Those two positions are what win you titles, yeah? Not centre-forward, those two positions. Going forward, what do you do with Bruno Fernandes? As you can see here, I'm playing him as a false nine. I think you need to say to him and trust him that you can get us the goals and the assists. You can go and do that role where you dip in and out, where you're not constrained, where you can wander, and where you can help the wider players. I've got Alanga in there for pace.
And you can press as well.
I've got Sancho in there for skill. You can press, Haider, but we might get a coach who doesn't like pressing. You might get a Diego Simeone next who wants to play 4-4-2 and be more structured. So we can't talk about tactics just yet, but you're right. You know, you have to have that versatility. I've dropped Hannibal in there because I think that his time will come soon in the way that Alanga's taken that chance. I've put Pogba in there with fingers crossed that he signs a new contract, and that's what I would like. But let's go to Luke Shaw because Luke Shaw last year was the best left-back in the world. Statistically, the best left-back in the Premier League by quite a long way, showing that he can get assists, he can drive forward, he can do lots of things. The fundamental breakdown on Man United this season of being a team that came second last year and got to European final and now are where we are here, part of that is how that dysfunction in that those positions are going at fullback. So you look at Luke Shaw, and he is way out of form, but he's not the only one. He's really not. It's hard to say, Luke Shaw, what are you doing? When he's looking up, when he gets the ball, like yesterday, and nothing looks familiar, Haider. The team is not moving in the way that you want to. Now, you could say that's tactics, but I think it's more to do with the players when you look at the system, the systematic issues. Paul Pogba played in a more advanced role yesterday. I think he did really well, actually, at times. I think Pogba got the ball on the deck. But you can see that around him, it's the problem is just like the options and how you get the ball into the box. But Man United had plenty of chances yesterday. So this team doesn't win you the title. David De Gea, as you just said there, the big issue with David De Gea is that he's just not elite with his feet. Yeah, that could be a catchphrase for him, not elite with his feet. And this is an issue. And I think you're right. I think that there is a question mark to ask there that do you now go full sweeper keeper and David De Gea is let go? As it stands, without David De Gea, Man United would be outside the top 10. That's a statistical fact.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's difficult.
He saved nine goals, like nine direct goals this season, and you would be nowhere this season without David De Gea. So that is a problem. But you need to be able to pass the ball out from the back, and we can't. So you could get rid of De Gea and bring in a sweeper keeper and go, oh, look, we've got this great sweeper keeper. Oh, he passes the ball beautifully. But you know, we've just conceded 20 more goals and now we're eighth. So it's a balance. So De Gea is not the first position I address, Haider, if I was running the show. But he's certainly one of them. Like, as I said, if you sell Dean Henderson, then you just go buy a sweeper keeper that can do that stuff. And maybe then you can have a smoother transition.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vaughan is not a fan of De Gea. If you want to see United defend and attack more efficiently and start to dominate the ball, the keeper needs to be changed, in my opinion. So get it done ASAP. I don't agree with this comment as well here by Amir. But guys, look, put your comments in. We want to talk about them. I want to hear if you disagree. But he's saying here, there's a reason why no big clubs wanted Bruno. I mean, you said he's horrifically inefficient. I see your points in terms of the fact that his ball security is woeful at times. I think that's a big problem with this Man United team in general. Look, barring Jadon Sancho, Pogba in obviously the higher areas higher up, when he's a bit further back, he is more of a liability. But the ball security in this team is awful. And you can't control games. And that's why Man United need to be signing, like you said, you know, a centre-back that can do that. I think Varane is decent at it. David De Gea is not good at it. Wan-Bissaka, obviously, when he plays, is not great. And so that's where United need to improve. But going back to his comment, sorry, Rob, quickly.
Yeah.
He said, no wonder he's never won anything. Again, that's narratives, in my opinion. His goals and assists are good on paper because he sucks up most of the attempts. What do you think of that comment?
I think it's a really important comment because there is some truth in there, and I think it's worth exploring quickly now. When we signed Bruno Fernandes, I spent 3 or 4 months doing the fanfare about Bruno. I was like, this is the guy that gets you to where you want to be. Why? Because he is an electric number 10 who can get you goals, get you assists. He's not a very good number 8. I don't want to see him play number 8 for Man United. I don't want to see him in deeper positions, but I want him leading the press. And I want him being the guy in and around the box with the ball at his feet. I still feel that. you know, he gets goals and assists for a reason. But what was said there is really, really true. The reason why some top clubs passed out on Bruno Fernandes was that his ball retention stats were horrific at Sporting. Horrific. Awful. And I was willing to look past it because I was saying, right, you need other players to at Man United to be good at keeping the ball. But at the moment, we've got Fred, McTominay, Matic. Matic did all right yesterday. You know, Pogba, as you said, deeper is more of a liability, but the top end of the pitch is less of a liability. How do you get that balance and chemistry? I still think that it's the responsibility of the player. So yesterday with Bruno, he started off playing in the 4-2-3-1 on the left-hand side by Cristiano. Two massive chances in the first half, he missed them. Later on in the game when United were trying to change it, he got deeper and deeper. He was told to. He went really deep with Pogba for a bit. They kind of played as two, not sixes, but they were tasked with getting the ball and getting the transition going quickly. I'm telling you, Bruno is just rubbish at that. He's awful because he gets his head up and he generally panics. He doesn't play smart football. So when we're talking here about what does Bruno do on the ball? I think that's real pertinent because he gives the ball away as a number 10, but you can live with that. But you can't give the ball away as a number 8 or as a 6. You can't because you're in trouble. So this is the thing. It's about if you keep Bruno Fernandes, and I would like us to, you need to find the perfect role for him. And this is why the false nine works for him. It works for someone like Roberto Firmino, who was once upon a time a midfielder, an attacking midfielder, and he's won trophies with Liverpool. You know, we're talking now about Foden and De Bruyne and these players who are midfielders, absolute core midfielders, playing in the attacking role at the fulcrum of the attack, right at the top, because it works, because you score goals and you empower the other players around you. I would like to see that with Bruno. Think about what Bruno did for Alanga's goal in Atletico in Madrid. Yeah? Getting the ball, two touches in midfield, clear open picture, I'll slide you in. Now, Bruno can do that, and he can do that as a false nine, but he does not do it very well as an eight. He's a pointless number six. You just can't have him there. And he does make bad errors. Like you saw as well, what was it, the goal the other day where the ball comes out from the goalkeeper and he gets tackled in the last match and he's literally 10 yards outside his own box. And then he rolls around on the floor, holds his ankle for all of 2 minutes.
Yeah, against Leeds. Yeah, and they scored.
Against Leeds and they scored. Now, if you did against Liverpool, they will absolutely torch you. And that's kind of what happened in the Liverpool fixture when Solskjaer was in charge, is that Liverpool just turned up and said, right, we'll do Liverpool things and you better do Man United things, which is like just throw your arms up and down, get upset and, you know, we'll hammer you for that. That's dangerous because I think that that's habits. You've got to have better habits, Haydar. So this is the whole question about this team here is the first steps towards better habits and a better team. And I gave kind of explanations as to why I would have these players in. But this is a starting point. This team does not win you the title. But this team, it's as good as Arsenal. If you're looking going from fourth to third, and then maybe third to second, and then second to first, and that's where you want to be, might take you 5 years now, Haydar. But you've got to start. You've got to start somewhere. Man United fans want it all to happen overnight. And they thought that bringing Ronaldo to the football club was the way to get you to where you want to be.
Yeah, and this is what PA is saying here about Bruno Fernandes. He's a shooter, but the link-up player I'd be worried about. He doesn't have a feel for the ball like Firmino. But I think that can be developed. I think I'd probably disagree with that. He does say here that I'd rather him as a false nine. He can't play midfield the way I'd want to tend to. But I do think... you know, and it allows you then to push someone like Paul Pogba further up, and then you can shore up the midfield. You know, obviously we've got Hannibal here, young lad, and you know he's definitely should be involved next season. Well, this season and going into next season, and whoever the manager, whether it's, I think Pochettino will like him. I think Ten Hag would like him as well. I know that Ranić rates him. Obviously, then you're bringing in Declan Rice, who's a fantastic midfielder. Question here from Vaughan saying, do you not rate McTominay? He's my favorite United player by far. Scott McTominay has a place in the squad. 100%.
I do rate him.
Yeah. Yeah. He, you know, for me, he's great commitment, passion, etc., all those sort of things. Is a good footballer, but he's not quite at the required level, in my opinion. But he definitely can slot in. And he's a number eight for me. I don't like him sitting deep because I think you don't play to his abilities. He makes good third man runs when he plays as a number eight. But he's got a place in this squad, absolutely. But I don't think if United have aspirations of winning the title, him and Fred can't play week in, week out, unfortunately.
Yeah, again, I know that viewers and Twitter, like they see a team like this and they'll rip it apart and they'll think that this is the only thing Man United is allowed to do. And I'm saying this is a 4-3-3 and we have to play this and this wins the title. It's not that. You know, Scott McTominay, I rate him much higher, I think, than most Man United fans do. You know, we kind of give him his dues. I think McFred have a function, but are McFred going going to take you now to another level or even just one step forward? Probably not. But there's going to be plenty of games where you play McFred and it all works, you know, beautifully. You know, there's going to be times where if you buy a Declan Rice, if after the first game of the season he breaks his ankle, you're going to be playing Scott McTominay there. It's just what it is. So you do need players who can do that, who can pad out the squad. But I just think now for United, in talking about systems and the next coach and all of this, this season for me, the one system that seems to work consistently well for United is 4-1-4-1. Yeah, so when they've played a 4-1-4-1, they did it yesterday, yeah? When they switched to it, because they played 4-2-3-1 obviously at the start, the balance is there. It allows Pogba to go up the pitch. In this system, you would have, you know, I've got 4-3-3 here, but this could be 4-1-4-1 like that. Yeah, if you go Sancho and Alanga wider, you can have Pogba coming through to help Bruno dropping in and Hannibal pulling strings. And then you've still got the coverage of Rice going backwards and forwards. Now, that system is something that you can build on. You know, the next coach can look at that and say, I've got enough to play a really good 4-1-4-1 and win games with it. And I think Ranić is showing that when he switches to it, United look dangerous and they get up the pitch. So systems sometimes and formations can, I think, fool fans, because I always say it tends to be kind of done on populism. It's like, oh, I like 4-3-3. I can't possibly look at anything else. Oh, I hate 4-2-3-1. You can't possibly play that. It's somewhere in the middle. And that's why we always say, don't get too high, don't get too low. So I just think for the next coach, as you said there, we will start to look a little bit progressively, because it's not that this season has gone. It's up to Ralph.
Oh, it's gone. You get knocked out of the Champions League, Rob. It's gone.
Yeah, all right. If you get knocked out, but we're not knocked out of the Champions League. So
no,
today, it's not gone.
But
so today's not, it's not gone.
Arsenal are looking stronger than us. Spurs have games in hand on us.
Yeah,
United
but as
not
fans,
taking their chances.
Yeah, okay, as fans, though, let's not be as defeatist as these players are, because these players are defeatist. We don't need to be. We don't need to live with them. You know, we let them get on with what they're doing and find ways to do what they're doing. We can look progressively. It's why we do this show, isn't it? Because we try to be progressive about tactics and outlook. You look at what Man United got. You've still got talent. You've still got good players. You've got now a tactician running the football team. How do you get over the line and come fourth now? Now, it's going to be harder. Arsenal are the favourites for that. But I do think that you can even get to the end of the season and still have a relatively successful campaign to build for next year. And this is how it has to be now. That's how you get progressive. So Arsenal last year with Smith Rowe wasn't quite cutting it and Saka was like the golden boy and maybe Martinelli was literally nowhere. Arsenal fans were probably going, we'll get rid of all of them. You know, we need stars. We need superstars. 6 months on, you're getting to where you want to be because you have faith. So I think that there's still plenty of Man United you can have faith in. I still think Luke Shaw can be the left back that he was before, but I think he needs help. I like Alanga. I keep hearing about Alanga, everyone. This is a Man United take from fans. And he's not quite good enough. You know, he's doing well. He's doing really well running around, but I don't think he's good enough. Alanga thinks he's good enough.
There's a lot of that, at the minute.
And he's doing it at the moment. He's showing it. He's got God-given talent. He's quick as anything, and he can put the ball in the net. And he showed he's got an elite mentality in that Atletico game where he just looks up and goes, one of the best goalkeepers in the world in front of me, I'll just slide it to the left of him because that's what strikers should do. So I like Alanga. Give him a go. Sancho is coming into form. Hannibal was shown in the background. Obviously, he's been at the African Nations that he can play football. Ethan Laird's had a really good campaign in the Championship. Is it time to promote him and bring him through? There's other players I'm worried about. Bruno's one of them. I think Varane has been a bit hit or miss. You know, when you look at his team, you can absolutely pin down David De Gea about his feet. Definitely. And we can talk about Harry Maguire and Victor Lindelof till we're blue in the face, but we've done that for years. So what's the point? So I think the United has still got a core there that you can work with, but you need to get those two or three signings in first of all and then start afresh. You're still miles behind City. You're still miles behind Liverpool, but you need to be ahead of where you are today. And United can do that quite quickly in the summer.
And Rob, let's go to the final word now. Guys, thank you for all your comments. It's been fantastic. Some really insightful ones. It's great to hear different opinions. Man United obviously have got the Champions League game coming up as well in March. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. But what does Ralph do now? Because he's got big decisions. In my opinion, he's got to make a decision, Bruno or Ronaldo. He's obviously... I don't know if he's tied towards playing Ronaldo. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but Man United do have a problem at number nine. They need Cavani back when Cavani decides he's able to play. I mean, and that genuinely, Rob, I don't understand. What I don't understand is I'm thinking, I absolutely love Edinson Cavani. Well, I did. But Edinson Cavani, you know, refuses to play. No one says anything. Yet Paul Pogba wants to leave. He gets abused, turns up, plays, dominates football matches. doesn't get the credit. It doesn't make sense to me. But Man United need to have Cavani back because they need a number nine. You know, obviously with the situation, Mason, Martial's not here. So what does Ralph do, though? Does he now decide to, you know, manage Ronaldo's minutes a little bit more, play Bruno's false nine? Will he be able to do that? I don't know. I don't know if there's instructions from above saying Ronaldo has to play a certain amount of games, because these things do happen at football clubs. You know, Ronaldo is an asset. And it's very unfortunate. I think that United are, you know, in between a rock and a hard place right now with Cristiano Ronaldo, because they don't have any options, but he has to play.
They do have options, Haydar. They have lots of options in football. With football, you've got a squad of 25 people, you know, and more, and a really good youth team behind it. You've got loads of options. It's just that, are you brave enough to do it, and are you allowed to do it? So those are the two questions, aren't they? Is Ranić being told by the board that the shirt seller has to play? I probably think that they would have said to him, we don't pick the team, but we need Ronaldo to play. So we don't pick the team, but find a way to make it work. We did it on this show, Haydar. We've heard it on other shows. Yeah, you get a coach who makes it all work for Ronaldo. No, that's gone now. We have to get away from that. How would I fix it tomorrow? Or what would I do? I'd play Bruno as the false nine. I'd play him in that position every game for the rest of the season. That's how I want him to play. And I would have Ronaldo on the bench as a backup, as someone who could come on for 20, 30 minutes if you need to win you a football match. Now, that structure, that's what you would do. But I don't think that the selection is the biggest issue at the moment. Like yesterday, if you can't put the ball in the net, then you kind of say to yourself, well, what is it? You know, how do you fix those things? How do you make Bruno Fernandes put the ball in there? Well, you can't. Bruno has to do that. But how do you find Bruno, you know, having maybe less duties to do in midfield, so in that moment, he's more focused on putting the ball in there? Because I think that's the issue. You know, I think yesterday I saw it. We just saw there in the comments as well, someone talking about Pogba playing as the 10. Pogba played as the 10 for quite a lot of yesterday. It didn't work. Why did it not really work? Because Pogba would need a striker in front of him that moves. Yeah, that's what he needs. He needs to be able to see a striker move into the channel and for him to play then that beautiful pass. But Ronaldo doesn't do that. And the irony was, I was thinking about this morning when we were planning the show, and you look at somewhere like Aston Villa, yeah, who've got Danny Ings and Watkins, yeah? Now, Paul Pogba as a number 10 would love one of those two strikers in front of him. Why? Because he just runs the channel all day long. That's what they'll do. And that will stretch the play. And what does that allow? It allows Bruno Fernandes to come in as a third man runner and put the ball in the net. Now, that's holistic team duty.
Well, it's what we saw. Obviously, we don't want to talk about Mason too much, but we did see that in the first game of the season. I know it is Leeds, but the rotations in that front line were very, very good. Bruno making those third man runs. And that's what United needs, really, don't they? They need a striker that's going to run the channels. Simply put.
You need a striker that runs the channels. And this is why I really go on about, you don't need a 30 goal a season striker. Like, everyone would love that, but they're very rare. There's not many of them out there. Who gets 30 goals? And so if you're not Lewandowski or Haaland, then, you know, Ronaldo in previous years, Messi, maybe you look at Mbappe, you know, doing it in the French league or whatever, but they're very rare. So you need someone that helps your team. You know, I look at Brighton and look at Mbappe, what he does. Yeah. You need someone that doesn't necessarily need to be your star, but does that work for you? You know, that's how you get the other stars in. So that's how you help Pogba. That's how you help Bruno. I still think that Bruno Fernandes needs to be a false nine. And in the Premier League, he could be as good as any false nine that there is. I really do believe that, because he does have the work rate. He will run. He will help the team. He'll give the energy, you know, the emotional energy that you need. But it's a difficult one, Haydar, because I think for Ralph, his job, no doubt, is to just get wins. So that's why he'll be feeling down about all this, because to him, he's only lost one game since he's come to Man United in the league, isn't it? One match.
So it's
too many draws and too many performances that really you should have won. Should have won these games. They're not games where we've come away and gone, oh, you had one shot on target. No, you didn't. You had 20. What's going on? Why are you not scoring goals? So that's why this show was called Why Are We Not Scoring Goals? Why is Ronaldo, why are Bruno not scoring goals? It's certainly not the service around them, because they're getting in the box and getting shots off, but they're not being accurate. They're not being the leaders they need to be to help Man United to get over the line. Leadership starts in here, within, taking responsibility for your game. And if you can do that, others will follow. And what did Ralph say about Alanga after Atletico? Yeah, he went, these players need to be more like this 18-year-old. Now, that's hard, isn't it? Because we see it. We're seeing it every game. You know, Ronaldo needs to be more like Alanga. It's like, is that what he means? Or is he talking about Rashford? Or is he talking about Bruno? It doesn't matter who he's talking about, does it? What matters is that boy is doing it for the shirt and for the badge. You know, I keep having that thing. You know, he got the badge and went like that to the Leeds fans. Yeah, that's in my head because that's obviously what he's thinking. He's thinking, I'm here for this shirt and this badge. You can throw coins at me and I'll still run. I don't see that with all the Man United players. They're all a little bit too integrated in their own agendas in their own team.
Yeah, I could not agree more with that. Absolutely. And look, guys, make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. If you see this on Twitter as well, please give a retweet so we get the shout out to more people. You know, we do this for you guys and we really enjoy all the interactions. Rob, you know, sort of what's in the pipeline as well. And we want to hear what you guys want to, what shows you want as well. You know, we're happy to do these one-off shows, so do let us know. But what is in the pipeline for the future?
What, for the shows or Man United?
For the shows.
Well, we'll carry on doing tactics because I think the good thing about the masterclass compared to other shows, and this is not ringing our own bell or trying to kind of be elite or better than everyone else, is I think we will just talk about it as a sport, about football. Yeah, this is what I love being a football journalist, to talk about the game and about all this. Do you know what I really hate about the sport? Is all the other fluff and nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, the superstardom.
The agendas.
You know, the social media bits. Like, I do social media because I have to, because my job is part of my role as a journalist. But it's something that I personally could live without. So I get that fans connect with the game through those portals, and that's cool. No problem with that. But I think with the shows that we do, it's no point us maybe doing what the 20 shows were yesterday post-match, screaming about the team or screaming about the coach. Screaming doesn't really get you anywhere. Drama does not get you anywhere. You have to be more focused. So we'll carry on doing those shows. And of course, if there's anything that you suggest that you want us to do within that format, looking at players, systems and managers, we're going to be doing a lot more now going forward about a new coach, because that is going to become much more important to United fans and to us very soon. We'll soon find out who will be the coach. And I think when that is done and dusted, we can do some really good tactical shows on it and see where Man United could go in the future.
Yeah, I think PA says here, you know, manager masterclass for the tactics. We've done a lot of manager ones, obviously, when Ollie did leave and we had, you know, we did one on Valverde at the time. Obviously, we picked up the news. We will do one on Ten Hag, but right now, as we're looking and you're looking at Twitter today, I mean, it's angling more towards Pochettino than Ten Hag, isn't it, Rob? And when there is more legitimate things around Ten Hag, we will do one. I know Ten Hag is this savior of Man United, you know, and it's almost odd in my opinion. Obviously, like I do like Pochettino, I think Ten Hag is fantastic, I'd take him as well. But there seems to be this, if we miss out on Ten Hag, you know, the club's gonna go to ruin, we'll miss out on the next best thing, he's the next Pep. I just think people need to relax and calm down. It's really quite odd in my opinion. It's not that myself and Rob don't rate Ten Hag, it's just that unless there's something concrete that we've heard, then there's, you know, Then we won't do a show. So he is obviously the fans' choice. There's more legitimate concrete stuff. And that's why we did stuff on Pochettino. Obviously, we did one on Simeone as well. And when things do come up regarding Ten Hag, we will do a show.
Yeah, and I do think that obviously I know fans want Ten Hag, fans want Pochettino. I still think as it stands at the moment, the more likely candidate is going to be Diego Simeone. Because I think that he has that allure with the Man United board. There is, you know, there has been previous chats in the past. There is a little bit of contact there. I'm not trying to start smoke here where there's no fire, but it's quite clear that United want an elite coach. It's not that Poch isn't an elite coach. Of course, he's kind of considered that. Ten Hag has got this big reputation earned on not a lot. You know, he's done all right in the Eredivisie with a club that always does all right in the Eredivisie. Whether he's managing it or I'm managing it, it doesn't really matter. They just do what they do, Ajax. But Man United is a difficult club to come and take over now. And it needs someone with the personality who's really going to come in and stamp their authority. And I think that's why Simeone edges it, because I don't think Poch builds teams. And if Poch was available because PSG decided to let him go, and we do feel that that might be the case, then go with Pochettino. But I still want the guy that's there now, Haidar, because I don't see any issues with Ranić. I look at Ranić, he's fixed so many things that he's got no right to fix. And yet the bits he can't fix is because he hasn't got longevity. And if you gave him longevity, he'd do it. Paul Scholes said, I'm going to end on this. Paul Scholes, I don't think he's a great pundit. One of the greatest footballers we've ever had. One that I'm so blessed, I feel, to have seen Paul Scholes in the flesh as much as I did on a football pitch. And he said, you know, I don't really know if Ranić's a good coach. You know, he's not coached for 8 years. It's garbage. It's utter garbage.
So that's the level of English punditry. Ralph,
yeah, and this is it. It's like, not if United lose and suddenly your coach is rubbish, and you know all of this doesn't work. So next year you get Ten Hag, first six games of the season, you lose each game. what does that mean? Ten Hag's rubbish? You know, so it doesn't work like that. I look at Ranić and I'm still going to keep bigging him up because all the things that I said that I thought he would do when he came to the club, he's done. Tick, 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 tick. He's improved results, even though they're not perfect. The XG on both ends of the pitch has gone up. The team works harder. The players are getting on with the job. What are they not doing? They're not putting the ball in the net. If they put the ball in the net, Haydar, as I said, all of these shows would be very, very different. United would now, if they put the ball in the net, be above Chelsea. No doubt about it. They'd be above Chelsea, but they're not above Chelsea because those front players, those forwards, and the players around them, and I'm including Marcus Rashford in that because I think it's important, those forward players are not doing their jobs. They're not leading. They're not putting the ball in the net. They're not helping the team. And if they don't help the team, it means that in the summer, you've got to go and find players that do.
Absolutely spot on. And we'll end on that. Guys, thank you so much again. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Give us a follow on at TF Masterclass. Give myself a follow on at Haydar underscore Barney. Give Rob a follow on at underscore Rob underscore B. And make sure you share this with all your friends. Check out the previous shows we've done as well. Check out those manager ones that we've done. We've done the Pochettino one. If you want to refresh your knowledge on Poch and some of his tactics, we've got the Simeone one as well. Have a really nice weekend and we will see you all next time.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.